today's shir in Masech Tainis Daf Chaf Beis, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Abba Umna have osle shalma misifta rikia kol yoyma. Abba the surgeon would receive greetings, a bas koil would come out and say shalom aleichem to you, Abba Umna, every day. Labaya kamala yoyim de shapsa. Abaya would receive these greetings every Erev Shabbos. The Rava Kamala Yom de Kippur, Rava would receive them every Erev Yom Kippur. Havakachol Shadata d'Abaya. So Abaya felt bad, Mishum da Abba Umna. That Abba Umna got this greeting every day, and that he got it only every Friday. And like the Mashal explains, not that he was jealous, like Sachma, it is an Isser. The Torah says in the Seres Adibris. It's just he wanted to know, what does he need to do to be able to achieve the status that he should get these greetings every day? Amrlei, so he received the message from Hashemayim. Lematzis lemevika ovdei, you can't do what Abba Ovna does, and therefore you're not going to get the greeting every day. Ask the Gemara, may have ovda Abba Ovna. What did Abba Ovna do that he deserved this greeting every day? Says the Gemara. The Kav of Ovid Milsa. As we know, in the times of the Gemara, the most common medical technique that was used, the most technical common medical procedure, was bloodletting. So whenever Abba Umna had to let blood, have a mochus gavri luchod v'nashi luchod, he had separate rooms for men and women. This lay levusha, he had a garment that he had the female patients put on. This bekarna, it was a large, big, loose-fitting garment that had a hole, that had a hole the size of the needle that he needed to insert to let out the blood. So if he had a female patient, he put on this garment on her, that he shouldn't look at any part of her body that he didn't need to. He had a private room, the Shadi Bei Pshiti, where the payment for the procedure took place. The Shtisle, the person who was able to afford the procedure, Shadi Bei, would put the payment into that private room. The Lesle, if someone could not afford to pay for the procedure, Le Mixif, wasn't embarrassed because there was nobody attending there collecting the money. Kiavisramile Tzuvim Rabbonim, if a young Talmud Chacham needed to have this procedure, Agra Minei LeShakel, he certainly never took any money. And like the Mefarshim say, not only from young Talmud Chacham, certainly from older, more well-known Talmud Chacham, he didn't take money. But even from young, not well-known Talmud Chacham, did he not take money? Abbas Dekav Yav LePshiti, not only didn't he take money from Talmud Chacham, but he would give them money, Vamrlei, and tell them Zil Bari Nafshach. Because we know the Gemara mentions many times, after one went through this procedure, they needed to eat to get back their blood. So then he was concerned that the Talmid HaChachamim did not have money to be able to pay for food, so he gave them money. Says the Gemara, Yoyim Echad Shad Abayi Zugud Rabbanan, one day Abayi sent a pair of Talmid HaChachamim Lemivdekei, to check out what Abba Umna was all about. Asvinu, he gave them, he sat them down, v'chlinu, he gave them to eat, v'shkinu, he gave them to drink. U'machluchu, bistruki belayla. At night, he gave them wool rugs to sleep on. L'tzafra, in the morning, these Talmidei Chachamim that Abaye had sent, kechrinu, v'shklinu, rolled up these blankets, v'kam v'nafkulo l'shukah, and went into the street as if to take the rugs for themselves. Veshkechinu. And they meet Abba Umna with his rugs. Omlei l'shemi mar heichashavu. So they asked Abba Umna, which was somewhat of a chutzpah, obviously, that the rugs that they stole from him, he should evaluate, assess how much they're worth. Omlei hachi v'hachi. They're worth this much. Omlei v'dilma shavet fei. They didn't assume at this point that Abba Umna realized that it was his rugs that they had taken. Amalei b'hachi sheklinu. He says, these are the rugs, and I know how much I paid for them. Amalei didachnihu. So they still didn't think that he realized it was his rugs. They just thought that maybe he was saying that I have similar rugs that cost me that much. So they were then even more explicit in telling him, these are yours. B'sheklinu menach, and we took your rugs. Amalei b'matusim menach. B'maychash dinen. And he didn't say anything. So they asked him, why did you accuse us? We took your rugs. Amalei. So he said to them, Amina pidyon shvuyin eklula rabbanan. Perhaps you had relatives that were taken into captivity, and you need this money to ransom them out. V'chsifu l'meimeli. And you were embarrassed to ask me for the money. And like the Ben Yoyada explains, if they had a dvar tzedakah that they needed money, why were they embarrassed to ask? So he explains, since Abu Umna thought that they were their relatives, and that they were embarrassed that they needed to ask someone else for the money, that they couldn't use their own funds to ransom their relatives. Omle, hashdu nishklinamar. So they say, now take it back. That's not what we did. We just wanted to test you. Omle, mahu shata. From when I saw you took the rugs, and I assumed that those rugs were taken to be used for ransom, to be used for tzedakah needs, as retinim in my tzedakah. I decided to use these rugs for tzedakah, and I'm not taking them back. And in fact, there's some paiskim that say that the halach is that even though normally a neder, a vow, to be considered a neder has to be verbalized, nidrei tzedakah, as soon as one decides that he's giving tzedakah, it's considered a neder, and this is one of the proofs. Abu Umna never articulated a neder. He just thought that he decided that he's giving it for tzedakah. The Gemara says that he considered it already neder for tzedakah. Another question that the Mefarshim ask, the Achroinim ask, is how could one steal? Even if their intention was to give it back, the Gemara says, Masechta Bava Metzia, that you're not allowed to steal, even if you intend to give back. So there are a number of answers given. One answer the Sfasemis gives is that the Isser to steal, even with the intention to give back, is if the person you steal from will first think that the item was stolen, and then you give it back. Here was their intention that he should never become aware that it was stolen until they let him know what happened. That's why it should be mutter. Another teretz is that since everyone was well aware of Avra Umna being such a generous person who wouldn't care if something was taken from his home, it's not considered geneva. Another teretz is that since their intention was to give back the item that they took, not just give back the value, but to actually give back the item that was stolen, that's not called geneva under these circumstances. And yet a fourth teretz that I saw is that, what is geneva? What is gezeila? That I take something from you without your knowledge. Here, everybody was aware of what's happening, and that's why it's not called geneva. Have a kachol shadat de Rava. Rava was somewhat upset. Mishin Abaya. Because Abaya, as we said at the beginning of this year, got the greeting Minashmayim every Friday, and he only got it once a year, Erev Yom Kippur. Omalei mistayich de kamaganis akula karcha. You are the Rav and the Rosh Hashiva of the entire city, that's why you only get the greeting once a year, not every week. And as the Mefarshim explained, Abaya was involved with acts of chesed, not to the degree of Abba Umna, and that's why Abba Umna got a greeting every day. Abaya got it only every Erev Shabbos. Rava, however, being the Rosh Hashiva of the town, so the Chasam Sofer explains, needed that his chusim should be used, that if the people in the city did something inappropriate, his chusim saved them. So he didn't have chusim left over to get him the greeting every day, and he got the greeting only once a year, Erev Yom Kippur. Another pshat similar is that a Rosh Hashiva, a Rav, has to be involved with everybody. He can't be separated. And since he was involved with everybody, that's why he couldn't be on the higher madrega to get greetings on a daily basis or even a weekly basis. Rabbi Reike Chazar have a shchich b'shukah de Be'lefet. Rabbi Reike Chazar was very often found in this shuk. Have a shchich aliyah gabay, and he saw aliyah. Omlei, so he asked him, Ikev b'hai shukah ba'amad ha'asi, is there anybody in this shuk who's going to be a ben oilam haba. So Mepharshim ask, we know it says in Pirkei Avos, Kol Yisrael yesh lem chelek oilam haba. So what's the question? Is there anybody going to have oilam haba? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that everybody's going to have oilam haba, but till they get there, they may have to go through who knows what to get there. Is there anybody that's going to get to oilam haba without having to go through Gehenim and other tzaros? They'll go straight to Gan Eden, go straight to oilam haba. Another terutz that I saw is that, let's say we have a shul, a community. In the community, there are wealthy people and middle income and poor people. And if you walk into a shul and you ask who's wealthy, there may be a number of people who are wealthy. But always amongst the wealthy people, there's always somebody who's the richest. And when you walk into the shul and you ask who's the wealthiest, there's somebody you could point to and say, he's the richest man in the community. Here too, they want to know, yes, every Jew has Olam Haba, but is there somebody who's outstanding, extraordinary? But then I saw another pshat, beautiful pshat, that the Eitz Yosef says. He wanted to know, is there somebody who's a Ben Olam Haba already in this world? It says, living in this world, already an Olam Haba living. And actually that pshat answers another kasha. The pasuk says, Heim b'gadoy shev lo yamin. We can never know what's going to be with a person until he leaves the world, because the Gemara says there was the Kohen Gadol who for 80 years he was the Kohen Gadol, and the last moment he became a Tzdoiki. So how can we say he's going to have Olam Haba? Who knows what's going to happen? But he wants to know, there's somebody who's living an Olam Haba Diga life. So first he said there's nobody here on that Madrega. Ada Ochi V'Ochi Kozla Hu Gavra. He saw a person Dav Misayim Misani Uchmi, who was wearing Mechloikus Rishonim. Either he was wearing black shoes, or to say it wasn't the black shoes, it was black shoelaces. That it was the minig hagoyim to wear either black shoes or black shoelaces. And since that was something, as the Rishonim and Farshim explained, that was specifically worn by the goyim and not by Jews, so that's why he was assuming that this person is certainly not doing the right thing. Furthermore, he didn't wear tzitzis. This is a ben oilam haba. Rav Basrei, so he ran after him. Amalei, my ovdach, what do you do that you're a ben oilam haba? Amalei, zil ha'idna v'sol ha'mocha. Go today and come back tomorrow. Ma'mocha amalei, my ovdach. The next day he asked him, what do you do? Amalei, zintunana. I'm a prison guard. V'sarna, gadri l'chud v'noshi l'chud. And I keep the men and the women prisoners separate. V'rami purayu. And I put my bed, banhani lahani, between the men and the women, keheicha delo yasadei asura, to avoid anything inappropriate happening. Kichazina bas Yisrael, the yavni nochri elanai, if I see there's a Jewish girl that the goyim put their eyes on her, masar na nafshoi o metzinala, I'm ready to be moise nefesh to save her. Yoy mechad havenar maros gabon, there was one day a Jewish girl, v'yov ba nochri meinayu, and the goyim put their eyes on her, to do something inappropriate. Shakli the duri the chamri, I took the leads of wine, the sediment, v'sharle b'shapula, and I poured it on her dress. V'amri distanahi, that she's having a period, they would not have relations with her. And like the Mepharshim explained, normally his putting his bed between the male and female prisoners was enough, because he was the god that would separate male prisoners from doing anything inappropriate. That day, the wardens, the other guards, wanted to do something. So it was much more difficult for him to prevent it. So he did this. Why don't you wear tzitzis? And the Ben Yoyod explains, even though he didn't wear tzitzis, what he did do is they had a four-cornered garment, but he made one corner rounded. Very inconspicuously, nobody could be able to see it. But the halacha is the one is supposed to wear tzitzis. So he asked, why aren't you wearing tzitzis? And furthermore, v'ramis masani uchmi, why are you wearing these shoes that the goyim wear? Amalei, I lino v'nafiknu b'ne nachrin. I traveled amongst the goyim, and keheich d'loyladi yod dehudano. I don't want them to realize that I'm a Jew. That's why I don't dress like a Jew. So Mepharshim asked, the Torah speaks about this. There's a pasuk in the Torah, "Ubechol kaseim loyselechu." We're not allowed to dress like a guy. So how is he allowed to wear these shoes? So the Torah says that under certain circumstances, one may. And this is
a circumstance. But the question still remains, if it's a pasuk in the Torah, when is it mutter, when is it asur? So one teretz that the Mefarshim give is, here is for Atzalus Nefashis. Atzalus Nefashis, we're allowed to transgress ubechakasem leisaleichu. Another teretz that I saw, Bach says, that the entire din of ubechakasem leisaleichu, who decides what is or what isn't? It was given over to Chazal to determine when one is or isn't over ubechakasem leisaleichu, and Chazal determined, obviously, under these circumstances, there is no isser. Another teretz that I saw is that one is only over b'chukaseim leisaleichu if he dresses like a goy with the intent to be dressed and act and look like a goy. This certainly wasn't this person's intention, and therefore it was permitted. If the goy make a decree, matena le rabbanon, I let the rabbanon know to do what they have to do to annul it. Or boy, rachmi uvatal gzeret, they should daven and abolish the gzera. Or my tama keminalach anor, my uvdach. Why, when I asked you, what do you do? Vamartli, did you answer? Zila odna v'salamach, come back tomorrow. Amle behishat the gazi gzerta. At that time, I became aware that the goyim had made a decree. First thing I need to do is let the rabbanim know what's going on, so that they should daven, and then I'll talk to you and tell you who I am and what I do. And the Vishnu Tzareba makes an interesting observation. We see that the two gemaras that we learned today about people who are considered great people are people who were involved in a nyonet snias, keeping men and women separate. Ad hachavach osa hanach trei. Achi, two brothers came. These two people are also people from Olam Haba. He asked them, what do you do? We are comedians. We make people who are despondent happy. If we see two people who are in a quarrel, that's like Tigra Badai, that have a quarrel, Tachinav Avdin Lashalom, we look to make peace amongst them. That's a Ben Olam Haba. Continues the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Aleilu Masrim B'Kamokim. Tanar Rabban Aleilu Masrim B'Kamokim. For the following reasons, we cry out in any place. Al Shidofa and Val Yerokin, these are different diseases that affect the crops. Al Abra V'Chasil, different type of locust. Val Chayro. Rabbi Kiva Aymer, Al Shidofa and Val Yerokin B'Kol Shehu. On Shadaf and Yerokin, we cry out even for the smallest amount. Arba v'chassil, afilo ner be'eretz Yisrael, el knaf echod. Even if we see just one of these creatures, immediately misrin alav. So Rashi asks a question. He says, when we look in the Mishnah says that by on Shadaf and Val Yerokin, they were goyz atainis when they had a kamale pitaner. And here it says, b'kol shehu. So what is the shir? Kol shehu, or moli pitaner? So Rashi gives two answers. One answer Rashi says is, then a kol shehu masriyan, we cry out, but to fast, we only fast by moli pitaner. Another teretz Rashi says, is that the brice that we just learned is correct. That as soon as there's a kol shehu, we immediately start to cry and to fast. Because as soon as you have a kol shehu, you have to be concerned that it's going to spread. So why does the Mishnah say Moli Pitaner? Because the Mishnah is recording a story that happened. And the story that happened, there was a Moli Pitaner. But that's not to say that you need a Moli Pitaner. Even when you have a Kol Shehu, you already begin to fast and cry out. We learned in the Mishnah about Chayro. Tana Bonan, Chayro Sh'amru, that we begin to cry out, it was Manshim Mishulachas. When we see that it was sent from the Shemayim, Masunila, that's when we cry out. However, ain't a mishlachas, we don't see a sign that it was sent in Shemayim, ain't mishlachas, we don't cry out. Ask the Braisa, eiz a mishlachas, veiz a mishlachas. How do we know? Says the Braisa. Nearest beer, if these animals are found in the city, mishlachas, that's a ride that it was sent in Shemayim. But sod in the field, ain't a mishlachas. Continues the Braisa. B'yoyim, if the seen by day, mishlachas, it's min a Shemayim. B'laylo, ain't a mishlachas. It's not min hashamayim. Rasa shnei bnei adam. If it saw two people, v'rotz achreim, and it runs after them, mishalachas. Nechbes b'mneim, but if it hides, ain't mishalachas. Tarfesh nei b'nei adam, if it ripped two people, v'och le'echemahen, and it ate one of them, mishalachas. And Taisa says, the same din would be if it didn't eat up either of them. Ben Chanano doesn't agree. But if it eats up both of them, ain't mishlachas. Also, lagag, if it went up to the roof, but not with tinik marisa, and it takes the child out of its crib, mishlachas. That's the brisa. And to explain the last thing, their roofs, they used to use their roofs as an extension of the homes, so they used to keep children on the roof. If the animal goes up to the roof and takes the child, it's considered mishlachas. Like the Miri says, the din would certainly be that case if it took an adult, because the animal is going to be more afraid of an adult than a child. The chiddush of the brayse is that even if it took a child, it's already considered mishalachas. Now the Gemara goes to analyze this brayse. Hoguf akasha, let's analyze the brayse. Amrit, the brayse says, near sabir, mishalachas. If the animal is seen in the city, it's considered mishalachas. Lo yishna b'yom, lo yishna b'layla. Makes no difference by day or by night. Vahada amrit, and then the brayse says, "B'yom mishalachas." If it's by day, it's considered minashemayim. B'layla mishalachas, only by day, not by night. How do I understand the brayse? Says the Gemara, "Loy kasha." Hachkam. This is the way to understand the brayse. Near sabir, if the animal is seen in the city, where it usually doesn't go, if it's b'yom mishalachas, b'ir, if it's even though it's in the city, but it's, since it's b'layla, when people aren't that much in the street, ain't a mishalachas. Inami b'sada. Even if the animal is seen not in the city, there a feel beyond. Even if it's seen by day, ain't a mishalachas, because these animals don't go in the street. These animals aren't scared because it's not in the city. Then continues the Gemara in analyzing the brisa. It said rotz shnei bnei adam. If it sees two people, the rotz achreim, and it runs after those two people, mishalachas. So what do we see? Dafka, because it's running after them. Hoya medes. But if it's not going anywhere, it just stands in its place. Ain't a mishalachas. The hodam, the brayse says, only nechbis b'neim, only when it's hiding, ain't a mishalachas. Hayamedis, if it stands in its place, it's mishalachas. So what is it? When it's standing in its place, is it mishalachas or not? Says the Gemara loy kasha. Kam b'sada smuch lagam. Agam is a marsh, and the marsh is the place where these animals usually were. So if it's near a marsh, so it doesn't mind to stand there. Because since it knows it's near its natural habitat, if people will approach, it'll quickly run back to its natural habitat. So it's not that comfortable. So if it stands there, it's not a normal situation, and that way it's considered mishalachas. Tarfish nebne adam. We learned that if it attacked two people, and it eats one of them, mishalachas. Shneim, but if it eats up both people, ain't mishalachas, because that's what animals do. They attack and eat. So even if it runs after the people, it's considered mishalachas. In the agam, since its natural habitat is to be there, so it's much more comfortable. That's why if it runs afterward, it's not just a raya that it's mishalachas. Only what if it eats. Everywhere else, just running after the people is already a proof that it's mishalachas. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. We shouldn't have such problems. Gufa. Also, lagag, if it went up to the roof, not latinic marisa, and it takes the child out of its crib, mishalachas. That's mapshita. That's certainly something that's abnormal. Amra papa, kekuchi detzaydi. We're not dealing with a situation where it's just the roof of a regular residential home. That certainly is very abnormal. But even if they have like this hut that they used to put out in the field when they went hunting, and he had a baby in the crib of that hut. So there it's already more outdoors, which is the place where animals are frequent. So we would consider perhaps that to be considered somewhat of a normal situation. Tells us the Bryce, it's still considered mishalachas if it goes in and catches that child. We learned that this cheriv, if there's an army passing by, it's also something that we cry out for. Certainly if it's an attacking army, it's a big tzorah. Even if it's a peaceful army, it's just passing through, it's also a tzorah. Just in way of introduction. Yoshio was a Melech Yehuda who was a very big tzaddik. And Parinche sent him a message. I don't want to, and the Pasuk, we'll read the Pasuk soon. I'm not looking to go to battle with you, Yoshio. I just want to pass by your country to attack Karkamish. And Yoshio doesn't let him. Shein lecha, because he knew that he couldn't prevail over Yoshio, and we see what happens. Shein lecha cherev shel shalom, yoyis mipar nechei. There was no situation of a non-attacking army more than this story of Par Nechei. At the end, Yeshio died when this army passed. Shnemer, as the Pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, V'yishlof alav melachim lema. Par Nechei sends a message to Yeshio. Mali v'lecham melech Yehuda. You and I have no quarrel. Loyalach ata hayoyim. I'm not looking to go to battle with you. Ki el beis mulchamti. Only with Karkamish is my target. V'lekim oma. My God told me that I should go. Don't start with my God. That you should not be destroyed. Who was the Elohim that Par Nechei was referring to? Omer Yudam Rav Zu Adazar. It was an Avodah Zarah. Omer. So Yoshua said, since Paro is putting his trust into his Avodah Zarah, Yechal Nolei. I will prevail, and if I don't want to let him in, he won't be able to do anything to me. So the Pasuk says that he didn't let Par Nechei in, and Par Nechei wasn't happy with that answer, so he went to battle. And the Pasuk says, V'yoyru ha-yoyru l'melech Yeshio. The spears of Par Nechei, Yeshio went out together with the Jewish army, and he was in his chariot, and the spears of Par Nechei's spearsmen, of shooters, hit him. And the king told his servants, Haviruni, put me in another chariot. I'm very ill. What does that mean? He was struck with so many spears that it looked like a sieve. The Medrash says that there were 300 holes in his body. Why did Yeshua get such a terrible punishment? He should have asked Yirmiyo if he how he should be reacting to Par Nechei, and he didn't. My Dorish, how did he come to make this error? He says the Pasuk says that if Klal Yisrael acts appropriately, there will be no army passing your country. My Cherev, what does the Pasuk mean? That there won't be an attacking army. That's obvious. Because the Pasuk already says that if you act properly, there will be peace in your land. Even a non-attacking army will not pass your land. And he didn't realize that his people weren't in such acting so appropriately. So there's an obvious question when we learn this Gemara. A moment ago, the Gemara said that why did this happen to Yeshio? Because he didn't ask Yirmiyo. And here it says, because he made a mistake about the status of the people, if they were really acting properly or not. So what is the reason? So Samsaif has a beautiful way of explaining this Gemara. He says, what Yeshio should have done is asked Yirmiyo, and Yirmiyo would have told him that the people aren't acting properly. What did they do? So the Mefarshim say that Yoshio sent messengers to go to everyone's home and make sure that they didn't serve Avodah Zarah, they had no Avodah Zarah in his home. So some Mefarshim say that these messengers didn't do their job properly, that when they went to the people's houses, they didn't really check. Then I saw an interesting medrash. The way the people had their Avodah Zarah, they had doors opening up with two doors opening up. And the Avodah Zarah, when you put the two doors together, you had a tzelem. When they opened up the door, they came into the house, they opened the door, they didn't see an Avodah Zarah, because they only saw a half of Salem on the other side, and one side was open. When they closed the door, these soldiers themselves, when they closed the door, they made it Salem, because by closing the door, they put the Salem back together. And Yoshio wasn't aware of what was happening. Yirmiyo would have told him. And by not asking, this is what happened. And the Chasam Sofer takes it a step further. What does the Gemara say happened to Yeshio? He was shadat kavra. He was became like a sieve. Many times we find in the Gemara the concept that somebody has to be toichai kabaroi. His inside has to be like outside. The people in his generation were not toichai kabaroi. And the outside, they told him we're not serving Avodah Zarah, but in the inside, they really were. Because that's what the people in his generation were, that's why he was killed kabaroi by being made to look like a sieve. Kavan nicha nafshe, as Yoshio was passing away, he saw his lips moving. Maybe he's saying something inappropriate because the pain of death. Some Farshim say either Yirmiyahu was concerned that he's saying something against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or that he's perhaps admitting that he did different averes. Gochen v'shamei, so Yirmiyahu bent down to hear what Yeshio was saying, to come at nafshe. He was accepting the din that was happening to him. Chas v'sham, he had no kindness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he didn't admit to any other averes. So it seems that Yeshio was a pure tzaddik. He didn't do any other averes. Pasuk lehushata, when Yirmiyahu heard him say this, he said about him, Ruach ha'peinu mi'ch Hashem. Maisa, we learned in the Mishnah, the Yodos Kenu Yerushalayim L'Reim, the people, the Sekenim, went from Yerushalayim to the cities, and they saw a Kamali Pitana Shidofen, that they saw an oven full of Shidofen. So Gemara wants to understand what does this mean. In Mailu, Kamali Tana Tfuah, when we say it was an oven full, is it if you fill it up with grain, Adilma Kamali Pitana Pas, or you fill it up with bread? Obviously, grain takes up less space, so you need a lot more grain than bread. Tashma, so the Gemara brings it, Kamali Pitaner, the amount to fill it up with bread. And the Mepharshim say all of their ovens had a standard size. But Dayanti Bailoik, Kikosi de Tanura, is it to fill up the opening of the oven? Idilma Kidara de Rifta. Dadalay Lupuma de Tanura. Not just the opening, but a row of bread from the opening all the way down to the floor of the oven. And the Gemara says, Taiku, we're not exactly sure how much was seen. Vod goes with tainus, asha achlu zeivim. We learned in the Mishnah they were guys with tainus because wolves ate up two children. Amu ulam shim rab shim ben yitzadik. Maisa ba'olu zeivim shnei tenoikis. Wolves ate up two children. Vikiyum derech beis rei. And they expelled them through the waste, as they expel waste. Obo maisa lefnei chachamim. And the question was, were these children that were in the body of the wolves, did they and now they were expelled, metame or not? The tiras abasa timas atzomis. So the way Rishonim explain is that these bodies of the children were in the insides of the wolf for 3 days. So the flesh of the children was considered so decomposed that it no longer gave off tuma. The bones, however, which are stronger, even though they were in the body of the wolves for 3 days, were not considered decomposed and still gave off tuma. There's also machlokes rishonim, if when these bodies of the children were expelled, were they whole or they were in pieces? Some rishonim say that if they were whole, even though they were in the bodies of the wolves for 3 days, they would still give off tuma. It's only because they were in pieces. Other rishonim say it makes no difference if they're whole or in pieces. If they were in the animal's body for so long, the flesh is considered decomposed and doesn't give off tuma. Aleilu Masurim b'Shabbos. Tana Bonin, Ishi Kifu Nachrim. If a city was attacked by Goyim, a Nor with a flood, Vechad Sfinam Terefes B'Yam, or there's a ship that's in danger of sinking, Vechad Yochid Shenirdav Nei Nachrim, or even if there's an individual who is being chased by Goyim, of Nei Listim, or by bandits, of Nei Ruach Ra, or the person never becomes Meshuggah, he's insane. A kul and yochid rishoy l'sag of asma b'tanis. A yochid could be put himself into tainis. And the rishonim say, what does l'sag of asma b'tanis mean? That he could be in tainis every day. Rav Yosi Omer, any yochid rishoy l'sag of asma b'tanis. A yochid cannot put himself into that stage. Shem yitzarech l'briyis. Perhaps if he's fasting all the time, he won't have the energy to work. and he'll have to come on to other people. And he won't have anybody to support him. So since he won't have anybody to support him, he shouldn't put himself into such a stage. My time, Rabbi Yossi. What's the reason for Rabbi Yossi to ksiv? For he adam nefesh chaya, neshama shnesati bacha. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, I gave you neshama, and you have the obligation hachiyehu to keep it alive, and not do things that could bring yourself to a status that you will not be able to survive. So Ben Yoyada asks, what does the Gemara ask my time in the Rabbi Yossi? He just said, Shem Yistarach Lebriyas, and Lebriyas Merachim Salav. So why are we saying, Neshamish Nesati Bachachiyayu? So Ben Yoyada explains, that's the reason. Why does a person have to make sure to support himself? Because if he's going to rely on others, there's always a concern that others will not take care of him, and he'll be left with nothing. There's an interesting Rashi here. Rashi says that somebody who's with Nei Ruach Ra, somebody goes insane, we have to do whatever is necessary for him. So Rashi says, because while he's insane, we're not sure what he could do to himself, and maybe he'll jump off the bridge, or he'll jump off a building, and therefore we have to take care of him. But I saw from Yosheb Soloveitchik, who quotes his grandfather Reb Chaim, and I saw it from Moshe also, and I saw it from the Sharm Tzion Baloch also, that even if you have a person who's insane, and there's no concern that he's going to do something like this to himself, he's in an institution where he's being watched, nothing like this could happen, still, a person who is insane is considered a Chayel Shiyesh by Sakana, and all the halachas that we learn in Masechta Shabbos, Hilchos Shabbos, regarding a Chayel Shiyesh by Sakana, apply to him. Shimon Tamani, Afal Adever. Shmuel Tamani says, even on the Dever, when we say that the Chum didn't agree with Shmuel Tamani about a Dever, is it on Shabbos? They don't agree ever that a Dever is considered a Tzara. Toshma, Mitzrina al Dever b'Shabbos, we cry out because of a Dever on Shabbos, then Tzarech Laim b'Chol, and certainly during the week. We never cry out for a Dever. So the Rishonim ask, the Ran asks, how could the Braisa say that Eim Asrin al Dever Kalikku, when the Mishnah says at the beginning of the Mishnah that Dever is one of the things we cry out? So he says, when the Braisa here says Eim Asrin al Dever Kalikku means that we don't cry out for the Dever every day. We only cry out for the Dever on Monday and Thursday. Why don't we cry out every day? Says the Ran, because if we cry it every day, we may come to do it on Shabbos also, and on Shabbos we're not permitted to do it. But the Rambam says, even though we're saying that you don't cry out only on Monday and Thursday, that's the people in the city, says the Rambam. But the people who are actually affected, they are allowed to cry every day. A kol tzar shleitava tzibur, any problem, mesrim leim, we're allowed to cry out, chutz merayv gishamim, unless there's too much rain. My Tama, why for too much rain don't we cry out? Amr Rabbi Yochanan, b'fi she'em espalim al roi v'toiva. You never cry for something that's too good. V'amr Rabbi Yochanan, minayin she'em espalim al roi v'toiva. How do we know that we never cry, never complain about too much of a good thing? Shenema, the Pasuk says, heviyu es kol ha'maisa al beis ha'otzer. Bring all of your maisa, and like the Pasuk explains there, Malachi, since the Levium did not come up with Ezra to Yisrael, he punished them that Maisa Rishon, which normally belongs to the Levium, they should share with the Kohanim. They would bring it to a specific place, and over there they would leave it to be shared between the Kohanim and the Levium. Ach Yivus to say Adli Dai. What is Adli Dai? Omer of Ava Bar Avin. Ach Yivus to say Chmulam Dai. There'll be so much bracha until you say enough, but you should never stop. So I saw a beautiful pshat. Why? Don't you daven? Why don't you daven for Rav Taiva under such circumstances? So one pshat is because it's a bracha that comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a bracha that comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you never say no to. Another pshat I saw is like this, very beautiful pshat. We know that the rule is, Mishesh Lim Mona, right to Messiah. If somebody has $100, he wants $200, a person is never happy. But when somebody receives a bracha directly from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that bracha doesn't come with the need to have more. So the person has always wants more, then it's never a bracha. He's never happy. The bracha that we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes with dai, that the person should be satisfied.
In Goyla, in Chutz Laretz, if it rains too much, we do cry out. Tanya Namihochi, Shana Shigishmua Berubim, if there's too much rain, Anshe Mishma Shalchim Anshe Mamet, the people of that week's Mishmah, we discussed in the Mishnah, to speak to the people who are this week's Maimed, to Nuai Nechem Shabagoyla, think and daven for the people in the Goyla, Shloye Beseim Kvureyim.
Until the houses shouldn't become their place where they're buried. Because since Bavel was a low-lying area, too much rain would flood the houses.
Sholos Reblezer, at Hechen Gisham in Yoredim V'Yispalu,
how much does it rain in Etzisrael that then we could daven that it should stop raining?
V'Yispalu Shlo Yeredu, that we should daven that it should stop raining.
Omelem Kedei Shiyam at Odom B'Keren Ofel, there's a place that's a very high area in Etzisrael called Keren Ofel.
V'Yishachshach Raglav B'Mayim, and his feet should get wet.
V'Tanya Raglav, V'Tanya Yodov, and tomorrow, the other Bryce says his hands should get wet.
So tomorrow, Raglav Kiyodov Kamin, I mean his hands like his feet, that if he bows down, bends down, and he puts his feet, hands in, there'll be so much water on the ground, on this high elevation, that they'll get wet.
Amar Rabba Bachana, L'di Chazli Karen Eiffel, I saw this pace, the Kama Hutaya Kiroch of Gamla, there was a Arab riding a donkey, the Noket Rum Chabiyade, and he was holding a spear in his hand, Meschik Niva. But it's so high up that I, who was looking up all the way up there, it looked just like a worm was on top of the mountain. That's how high the mountain is. It's another way of saying that Etzisrael will never end up being Mispalo, that there's too much rain. The Mefarshim explained what's the difference between Etzisrael and Chutz Laretz, that in Etzisrael we never Mispalo for too much rain. In Chutz Laretz we are. Eretz Yisrael receives its rain directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Karan Ayra. Suddenly it comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we never complain about. The rest of the world doesn't get its rain directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we can spell there's too much rain.